This podcast of this Swain event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
You're listening to the Swain event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Check them out online at deadendbbq.com.
Let's go to Neil and Mafia, who's on the B-Dry Waterproof Hotline. Neil and Mafia, good morning.
Man, good morning, guys. Long time no talk.
I know it, man. Feels like we talked to you last year or something.
a couple of things. Do we, if you were a betting man, would you lean more toward possible OC development being leaked while the coaches meeting is still going on over the next 2 or 3 days, or would you look to something to solidify afterward? And secondly, and it's kind of unrelated, but the NCAA college football season is, I mean, it's just better than the NFL season, but the NFL postseason doink seems to be
hey now.
Seems to be better than the NCAA doink postseason, and there are a lot of doink plans coming out for possibly an expanded playoff. And I was wondering if you and you guys were possibly a fan of any of those, and if you saw doink an expanded playoff coming up in the-
I hope it happens. Doink.
Oh, wow. That was terrible.
I thought we was friends, man.
We are friends. That was a doink question.
What was your first question again? I forgot it, man. I got distracted by all your doinking over there. Cause that's what you like to do, Nina Mafia. I can tell by your tweets that you like to doink a lot.
It was, you know, after all the talk and everything and 40 days and 40 nights of all this, you know, with the coaches' meetings happening now, do you see this OC thing wrapping up sooner rather than later?
Man, I think there's going to be some movement, man, just because that's where coaches who have jobs go to kind of talk to other guys and maybe move, or coaches who don't have jobs go down there and network, things like that. I just think there's going to be some movement here in the next couple of days. You have the national championship game that's wrapping up after today, and things happen fast. Remember, last year, the next day, Pruitt and Shera, they're on a plane to Knoxville to start their journey here at Tennessee. They celebrated for a few hours, and they were here. And so what's going to happen with Josh Gattis? This is just a hunch or a guess, just connecting the dots here from everything that I know and people I've talked to and the players involved so far that we've heard of. This thing should move after today. The coaching convention is over on the 9th, which is Wednesday. Still going on today, started yesterday. And then you have the championship game that's over today. It should move. It should not go until National Signing Day. There's really no reason to.
It will. I said it earlier in the show. It will be a sign of a dysfunctional search, in my opinion. And I say dysfunctional not in the sense of the way the head coaching search went last offseason with John Curry and Philip Fulmer having to step in and all that. Not that form of dysfunction, but dysfunction in the sense of there is no clear plan. And that, to me, is disappointing. I understand that Jeremy Pruitt is a first-year head coach. I understand that Philip Fulmer is a first-year athletic director. But it didn't appear that they had a clear-cut plan. And to me, that is disappointing because, sure, they have first-year titles, but they've been around college football for a while now. They know how these things work.
Yeah. The search didn't start great, but it can finish great.
Correct.
And if it goes on to National Signing Day, and again, they still can hire the right guy, but it would be easier to say it started bad and finished bad. It started without much direction. It started without any organization, and it finished that way too. I mean, you can say that. I think there should be some movement in the next couple of days because of the national championship game again and the coaching convention. What is Josh Gattis going to do? That's a domino that I think is going to affect a couple positions and a couple programs. You know, Tennessee, Alabama, Maryland, those are three programs right there that could be affected by Josh Gattis' decision. I can see that.
And if T. Martin were to come to Tennessee, I do think that would be this week. Maybe early next week. I think that would be a relatively soon decision just to kind of get going.
I mean, Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, at a certain point, you're completely out of reasons to continue pushing things out, and I would say this week is really that point. What else would there be?
Sarkisian. T has a better relationship with Sarkisian probably than Jim Chaney or anyone else. They worked together at USC. Sark retained T when he was on that staff and they fired Lane Kiffin. I think T would love to work with Sark. Where are the NFL opportunities for Sark? I think if you are Sarkisian, maybe you want to stay in the NFL, but being able to coach with T, run the offense, and be the head coach of the offense, and having a guy like T backing you up who knows your offensive system and who will recruit the player that you are looking for, that's a heck of a dang opportunity for Jeremy Pruitt. Is Sark ready to make a move, though? Is Sark ready to make a decision? NFL jobs are people are interviewing for NFL jobs right now. What's going to happen? There's a ton of jobs open. Ton.
And nothing has – I mean, they've been open for a week now, and off the top of my head, unless I'm just completely forgetting, not a single one has been filled. I mean, there's rumors about Adam Gase, the Cleveland, and Hugh Jackson is going to take over in Cincinnati, but all these teams are tweeting out who they've interviewed, which I think is hilarious. I wish Tennessee football Twitter account had to tweet out – not even – would do that, had to tweet out who they'd interviewed for the offensive coordinator position. I think that would be absolutely hilarious. But there's all these open positions, I believe 9 in total, 9 or 10, and not a single one has been filled.
Yeah, looking here is 8 so far. You have the Here we go. You got the Packers, the Browns, the Jets, the Broncos, you have the Bucks, Cardinals, and Dolphins. So 7 openings, which means how many offensive coordinator opportunities? 7. And also add how many quarterback coach opportunities? 7. So there's 14 spots that Sarkisian can fill.
He's got some options.
He could possibly fill 14 spots in the NFL. 14 spots. The Sarkisian have a better opportunity being the head coach on offense at Tennessee.
Well, and not only do you have a bunch of head coaching vacancies, but a lot of those head coaching vacancies are going to be filled by coordinators, which opens up even more positions
for Steve Sarkisian. That's why I was saying when you were answering the phone.
I'm sorry.
7 offense coordinator opportunities, 7 quarterback coach opportunities. So that's 14 different spots that Sarkisian could fill. It's up to him. Do you want to go in college? Do you want to be in the pros? Sarkisian, T. Martin, to me, man, that's it. That's my number one scenario I would hope play out. Number one. I would hope that would play out.
My number one is Chaney T. Give me Jim Chaney and T. Martin all day, every day.
The reason why I go Sark and T, because they work together before. They know each other.
Let me ask you this. If T. Martin doesn't come to Tennessee this time, will T. Martin ever coach at Tennessee?
It's possible, but it wouldn't be T's fault, just like it wasn't T's fault the last time, to be honest. Folks who know the least talk the loudest about the T. Martin stuff. They don't know how much he was offered. They don't know any of that stuff. All they know is Tennessee offered him. That was a PR move by Butch Jones to make it seem like he was going to go after T. Martin. Y'all don't know how much he was offered. T. Martin has always looked out for Tennessee. even when he was coaching in Kentucky. And I think he wants to be here, but he's not going to come here for pennies or come here without a co-offensive coordinator role. You know how great it would be for T, his future, to be the co-offensive coordinator with Sarkisian, and you are actively involved in the game planning and some of the play calls during the game. You may not be the play caller, but your role in devising the offensive game plan, man, that's going to help you become a head coach. That's going to help you move up that ladder. And I look at the T-Sarkisian combination, for me, number one, because those guys work together. T can help Sarkisian teach the other offensive coaches the offense, whereas T and Chaney, they haven't worked together before. That's the only reason I give the slight edge to that combination over Chaney. Now, I like me some Jim Chaney. I love me some Jim Chaney. But him and T, they haven't worked together before, and so that's a wild card for me, whether or not they would work well together.
Does Catholic High School here in Knoxville need a new quarterback?
Catholic? I'm not sure.
Because, you know, I think that's a factor in the sense of T. Martin's son was a starting freshman at quarterback at his high school in California. Does Catholic need a new quarterback this year? Yeah. I mean, Catholic's got some beef along the offensive line that could take care of him.
He can use his brother's old locker, Amari's old locker over there. So, all right, let's get to the phones and who we got there.
It's just Volstorm. Are you sure we want to get to him? If we can wait till 9:56 with like a minute left in the show to get to
him. No, man.
Okay.
Volstorm, my guy, man. Let's hear from Volstorm. Volstorm, good morning.
You know, leave it to Ben to throw in a cheap shot there.
Yeah, I heard Ben answer the phone call. He's trying to be all buddy-buddy with you, and then he get on the air, he's trying to throw a cheap shot at you.
That's not true. I was not buddy-buddy because do you want to reenact how you called in, Volstorm?
I was trying to do my best Titan Bill impersonation.
Go for it. Let me see your Titans Bill impersonation. Said,
good morning, Benjamin. How are you, my friend?
Oh, yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it.
Yep.
You nailed it.
Jason, how tightly did you cling to your little Care Bear doll last night whenever you saw the double crank?
10 minutes after the game, I left the house and I went to go to a meeting. And I snapped and cleared, man. I truly did. I snapped and cleared. I was devastated at first, but I'm good now. I'm good.
I had to throw in a Care Bear there for Triple OG.
Oh well. Hey, I understand. The Bears' future is a whole lot better than the Lions' future, and a lot of teams' future. I think this team is young. They tripped up. I think the Bears need to get themselves a new kicker. There's no doubt about that. But the Bears had several opportunities to win that game. Allen Robinson, if he would have drug his toe the way he's supposed to as a wide receiver on the sideline, they would have scored a touchdown, and we'd have been moving on to L.A.
Volstorm, I'm sure you heard us talking earlier. Do you have an NFL team? We don't really know if you have an NFL team.
I do not have an NFL team. I will root for the state NFL team just because they're in state. But as far as being a fan, I don't own a single bit of NFL merchandise just because I grew up in that era where, you know, there was nothing around here, NFL. So I never had allegiance. I know, you know, some people go to the Steelers, some people went to the Cowboys, so on and so forth. There was never any team that I just clinged onto. To me, the balls were my pro team.
So you're the friend that is single. All your boys are married, and all you do is crap on them in their situation, but you single, so you can never, ever experience any heartbreak. You're that guy right now. You don't have an NFL team, so all you do is give us crap for our teams losing. We can't crap on you because you don't have any feelings. You don't have a team.
Yeah. It's called living the dream, Jason.
You stink.
I think your favorite NFL team is the team that the Steelers and the Bears are playing that particular week.
No, because truth be told, I was rooting for the Bears last night.
Thank you, man.
I wanted the Bears to beat Philly, if nothing else, so I could hear pain and anguish in Basilio's voice.
that was tough, man, because I know Basilio's a huge Eagles guy. They won the championship last year. I would have not trash-talked at all if the Bears would have won. Man, Nick Foles is the real deal, which is why I said all week that I was nervous. I said I was nervous, and that's the reason why. Nick Foles, he's a stud. And through two picks.
I mean, how do you explain that? That's 2 years in a row that they brought in Foles around playoff time, and then he's just leading them to win after win after win. I mean,
he's never lost a playoff
game. It's like you have Wentz for the regular season and then Foles for the postseason.
The dynamic duo.
If I'm the Titans, man, I go get Foles.
Or Wentz.
200%. Although, I mean, the strange thing is that Foles, he goes through these stretches where, I mean, like, if he would have played better, arguably, Philadelphia could have won that game sort of comfortably. I mean, Chicago scored 15 points.
The first throw wasn't on him.
But you know what I mean.
He played damn good.
He finished incredibly well, obviously. But
I thought he played good, man. That's number one defense. Khalil Mack at your throat. Number one takeovers. He threw really one interception that was a bad ball. I mean, he did a good job getting rid of the football early. I mean, I thought he played well.
The point being, he goes through stretches where he doesn't play the best, but then when it matters the most, that's when he's at his best. And that's what you want out of a quarterback, I guess. I would 100% be okay with the Titans going to get Nick Foles. Let me just say that.
Ben said, or Carson Wentz.
I would be okay with that, too. Yeah. Two guys that are proven to be good.
Dak Prescott and Marcus Mariota. One just won an NFL playoff game. The other did not play Week 17 when the franchise needed him to.
That's easy. It's Prescott because at least he'll survive the season.
And at this point,
I'm Charlie thinking about it.
At this point, yeah, it's got to be Dak. I mean, there's still that factor that I think when they play their best, Mariota is the better player. But Dak plays every week, so that's, you know, I think I have to go with Dak.
Quick thing right here.
When Dak played his best, he was an MVP candidate. When Marcus played his best, when was that? And who was talking about him winning an MVP?
Marcus Mariota has won the same amount of playoff games as Dak Prescott.
When they're playing at their best, when they're playing at their best, one was MVP caliber, one was not.
And I'll say this, Mariota has never had somebody like a Zeke Elliott in the backfield with him until this season. There, you know,
yeah, man.
He didn't have a 1-2 punch in the backfield. He's had crap receivers the entire time, except for Delanie Walker.
Dak has also had crap receivers until they got Amari Cooper. And
that's true for the most part.
Mariota had DeMarco Murray, and DeMarco Murray, aside from last season, was very good with the Titans.
He had a good season, one good season, yeah.
Yeah.
Boston?
When do you guys think we're realistically going to wrap up this OC search?
Never. It's never going to happen.
The Christmas tree stays up.
It's the New Year's tree.
Hey, I still got my Christmas tree up, too. So.
It stays up, man. It stays up.
That's my excuse now. I heard that this morning. I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep up my Christmas tree. Do we hire an OC?
That's mine.
I don't know. You know, I'm getting tired of hearing all the rumors and the speculation and, this person could be a possibility or, you know, well, Jim Chaney hadn't done anything with his contract or T. Martin, blah, blah, blah. I mean, nobody cares anymore.
You're antsy. I get it, Volstorm. I get it, Volstorm, man. Good to hear from you. I do not know about, in detail, the conversations between Chaney and Pruitt. I think they have talked. I'm pretty sure they talked. Anything past that, I don't know. I know Pruitt and T talked. I know Pruitt and Jeff Lebby has talked. I know that Pruitt is really interested in Sarkisian, may possibly reach out to him. And that's pretty much it. I do not care about being first. I don't care about being right. That's all I care about. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know every single thing. I do do a pretty good job of talking to a lot of people, try to find out what's going on, and try so I can be accurate and fair. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know what Pruitt's going to do right now, because I don't. I don't. And I think Pruitt has made it that way. Pruitt has made it that way. That's how he operates. Another name we need to throw in here who could possibly be an on-the-field coach next year is John Lilly. John Lilly is Pruitt's right-hand guy. He is a seasoned, well-respected assistant coach. He's that dude. And if Brian Niedermeyer wasn't so great at recruiting, Lilly probably would be the tight ends coach. Lilly can coach multiple positions on offense. So he's a name to watch as being a guy who could come onto the field. I'm not saying he'll be offense coordinator or anything, but he could come onto the field. Because he's real deal. He's a stud now when it comes to being a coach at this level. Is that Tiger Rag?
Sure. It's the Clemson fight song. It's
Tiger Rag.
Because today we are all Tigers. Go Clemson. Beat the absolute you-know-what out of Alabama.
The only reason I know that's Tiger Rag is because that's Grissom High School's fight song. My high school, Grissom Tigers, that's our fight song, Tiger Rag, which is the same thing as Clemson's fight song. Whatever.
All in. Hashtag all in. Go Amari. Go T. Go Sunshine.
Trevor Lawrence.
Travis Etienne. Go that Ross kid. Go everybody. Go Dabo.
Definitely Ross, because he's from Alabama. He's from Phoenix City. So let's go, Justin Ross. Power 3 powered by Low T Center and LowTCenter.com.
Power 3 of the Swing Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly here with our Men on Football and Smoothie segment. Let's discuss some of our favorite smoothies and how they impact our lives. TK, man, tell me which smoothie comes to mind when you think about playing defense.
Swaino, the Peanut Butter Power Plus and the Power Punch Plus provide the energy needed to make plays every time they take the field. Then you have the Gladiator and the Hulk, nutrition every dominant player has to have. Bottom line, everyone wants to be a dominant player. Now, Swain, you tell me about the offensive side of the ball.
TK, it's simple. You always score with Smoothie King. The shredder personifies what we are going to do to opposing defenses. The berry punch and activator will light up the scoreboard. And in case we need to go into overtime, the pure recharge will put us over the top for the win.
Swaino, you know I love football and Smoothie King. I'm a VFL, a Smoothie King for life. The chocolate gladiator and the chocolate shredder with the scoop of peanut butter, oh, that's my go-to smoothie. They get a chest bump all day.
Yes, sir. This concludes our Men on Football and Smoothie King segment for today. Don't forget the Sip by Sip program. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you will feel and see the difference. Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Delicious and nutritious. TK.
Don't forget the peanut butter. Yeah, boy.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate? If so, then call me, Jennifer Morris, with Keller Williams Realty. I take a no-nonsense approach to the real estate transaction. No fluff, just facts. Having lived and worked in the Knoxville area for 19 years, I am very familiar with the local real estate landscape and am ready to help you get the most money for your property with the least amount of hassle in the shortest amount of time. No one likes for their home to sit on the market for months at a time. If a straightforward approach to your real estate needs is what you prefer, then give me a call. Jennifer Morris with Keller Williams Realty at 865-694-5904 or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
Tennessee Levi on the text box says, what about the BS no catch call? Yeah, I mean, that was a controversial point in the game. Anthony Miller caught the ball, took three steps, and the ball was stripped out right before he hit the ground. Because no one recovered it, according to the NFL rule book, it's hard to overturn the call of an incomplete pass. Stinks. That was a very crucial part in the game. But I don't look at that one play as the reason why the Bears lost. Football's game filled with so many different plays. And, yes, that play could have turned the game. But there's some other plays the Bears did not make. I mean, that easy flat route that Golden Tate ran to score a touchdown, all that separation, whoa, I mean, why was he guarding Golden Tate? That's the quickest receiver on the Eagles team. Probably could have been a better matchup there for the Bears. A lot of separation, man. A lot of separation for the NFL.
My only complaint with the whole Anthony Miller catch there near the goal line is that it just seemed like the NFL kind of made up a rule on the fly almost. And, like, because like you said, it could have been a big momentum play for the Bears. It also could have been a big momentum play for the Eagles. If an Eagle picks up that ball, it's the Eagles' ball right there on the 5-7 yard line.
If the Eagles recovered it, it would have been the Bears' ball because they could have overturned that. Because no one jumped on the ball, you can't overturn it because no one recovered it. That's the reason why it stayed the same.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But if the Eagles had a clear recovery of the fumble, that was a fumble.
Yes. True. That's right. If the Eagles would have recovered that. Remember, Matt Nagy challenged that. Mm-hmm. That challenge would have bit him in the butt. Eagles would have had the ball. Correct.
Exactly. Yes. And yes. I think the Bears made a field goal going into halftime, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That put 3 points on the board for the Bears. Where if the Eagles had a clear recovery there at the 5 yard line,
they would have taken the ball.
A knee going to halftime. Whatever the score would have been.
Yeah. That's right.
But it was just weird because like the referees didn't know what to do in that situation because it was a clear fumble, but nobody recovered it. So what do you do in that situation? It was just funky because it kind of seemed like they just made up a rule on the fly.
Yeah, it did seem like that at first, and then they went back and they dug deep into the rule book, and they found where, in that scenario, you can't reverse a call if no one recovers the ball. So,
which I guess that's probably a good rule, because what do you do in that situation?
They got to change that rule.
I know, but the what?
You change it.
What should the outcome be?
It should be the offense's ball in that situation.
But why should the offense be awarded for fumbling it?
Because they caught it, at least. If the defense don't recover it, then they don't get it either.
But that,
why should it be a no catch? It was a catch.
And he fumbled it.
So you're going to take away the catch?
I don't think you should. I think in that situation, you're rewarding the offense, and I don't think the offense should be rewarded for fumbling the football. Yes, it was a catch. I agree with you, but I just don't think I don't think either team should be rewarded. I think you should just kind of do the play over again.
No, the catch happened. You did not recover the football. That's on you for not recovering the football, I think. I think that rule should be changed.
But isn't it on both teams for not recovering the football?
Correct. But something did happen, and a catch was made. So I think the catch should be right there where the catch was made, and he goes down. I think that rule should be changed
moving forward. Like Tennessee Levi says, they fumble out of bounds. It's just kind of
– Yeah. If you don't recover it, then that's on you. And offense just gets the reward there. I think that's the way it should be.
Why are there Tennessee – this is off the point of what y'all are talking about. Why are there Tennessee fans who are Bears fans? Obviously, I know why you're a Bears fan. Swain. And it makes sense. That makes sense. But I tweeted last night, you know, they were booing Cody Parkey as he went off the field. And look, I get it. That dude was terrible all season. He probably deserved the boos. At the same time, I was like, the defense had the biggest moment in the entire game. They blew it. And you ain't booing them. And I tweeted about that. And I had multiple people who are Tennessee fans all up in their feelings. Well, this and that. Why are you a Bears fan? That's what I want to know. Like, what's the background there?
Because the Bears defense still held the Eagles to 16 points. The Bears defense got two turnovers.
The offense didn't do enough.
Parkey.
Yeah, it was the offense
missed
largely.
11 field goals throughout the season. He was consistently bad. And I'm sorry, I'm not even ripping him that much because the ball was tipped. two at the line of scrimmage.
And he made three other field goals in that game.
Yeah, so he shouldn't have even been used as much as he was, to be honest. I don't blame the Bears' defense. Obviously, if you are on that defense with the Bears, you take responsibility a little bit more because you say, hey, we should have stopped them. But, golly, you got two turnovers, held them to 16 points. I mean,
yeah, the defense was fine, but you can just everybody always tries to fight back about that. But I mean, you could say it for the entire team. Well, Trubisky should have made more plays. Well, you know, Khalil Mack didn't have a sack on the final drive. You know, and everyone was like, oh, well, he makes $9 million, this and that. Well, you know, Mitch Trubisky makes millions of dollars, and he didn't make enough plays in that game yesterday. It's such an easy scapegoat to lay it on the kicker like that. And I don't know, I hate that, but it's just me.
If you want to look at one thing. The one thing is that you have to score touchdowns in the red zone.
Yeah.
If you want to look at one thing of why the Bears lost, they did not score touchdowns in the red zone. They kicked too many field goals. They got to finish. That's why I think they need to get themselves a tight end, like a Zach Ertz who can be a big target in the red zone, can help Mitchell Trubisky on some of those three and outs that we saw last night. Get yourself another wide receiver that's shifty, that can make plays. I think that's the direction they need to go in. Or maybe a lineman that can help with some protection. You saw the difference in the Colts with that Nelson.
Quentin Nelson.
With that Nelson.
He's the best offensive guard in football as a rookie.
Woo! That move they made, and that's why our guy – oh, my God.
It starts with a D.
Oh, my God, man. Did I just have a brain fart? Live radio? My goodness.
You're talking about the
– Mike Dettillier.
There you go.
So that's why Mike Dettillier, like, pointed at him as, like the best pick because that dude's a mauler, and that's been the difference in the Colts. You've kept Andrew Luck upright, and they have a physical, tough identity running the football with Marlon Mack and them. I wouldn't mind going to offensive line. Anyways, Fanatic Vol says, Bears fan because I was raised right. LOL. No, for real. Though my dad was a cop in Chicago for years.
Okay, that makes sense.
He was a diehard Bears fan, so I grew up watching them. Mailman Dave says, Bears fan since I was young. Walter Payton, Mike Singletary, okay. Two of my all-time favorites. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
I always find those kind of things interesting. You got Cowboys fans among Tennessee fans. Obviously, you got Colts fans. I don't know if anything annoys me more than that. Payton doesn't play there anymore. Stop being a Colts fan. But
that's the way people are brought up. It's just like,
yeah, I know.
When I was young, living in New York, the Steelers and Jerome Bettis were on television every Sunday, and that was back in the early 2000s. As a young kid, I wasn't aware of the Titans.
And that's exactly how I was. I mean, in my most formative years, 7, 8, 9 years of age, the Titans played in the Super Bowl, and I was like, these guys are awesome. I had an Eddie George jersey and a Steve McNair jersey. Now, you know, I loved the Titans, and it's been torturous ever since. But no, I get it. I get it.
Another one, T and Owl Man says, back in the 60s, a lot of Tennesseans went north, mainly Chicago area, for work. Most came back in a year or two, but the Bears came with them. Again, Tennessee didn't have an NFL team. So,
yeah, not at that point.
That tough, gritty personality of a Bears team, you know, Pittsburgh, Chicago. I mean,
I get it. Like the 85 Bears, if that was your, you know, kind of how I said my most formative years were when the Titans played in the Super Bowl. If that was your formative years, the 85 Bears, I mean, that's a legendary team and one that made a big impact in a cultural way. So I get that.
We will go back to the text box after this. Stay with us.
Three of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials for the fall. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Smokehouse Stew, Barbecue Cheddar Meatloaf, or the Smoked Turkey and Dressing, which includes sliced smoked turkey and cornbread dressing paired with sautéed Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes, and a side of turkey gravy. While Dead End offers a different specialty meal each day, you can get their Hillbilly Chili every day. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The fall flavor search is over.
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union has helped people save money for almost 80 years, whether it's free checking, financing a vehicle, or purchasing that new home. Alcoa 10 is here to help you. Better rates, better service. Check them out at atfcu.com.
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Member NCUA.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now, what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
Join the Swain event at Dead End Barbecue on Wednesday, February 6th, to celebrate the Vols' victories on the recruiting trail.
The celebration!
Enjoy a special barbecue breakfast and listen to Jason Swain and the guys break down each signee during the special edition of the Swain event live from Dead End Barbecue. They will be giving away T-shirts and other awesome items. Former players will be on hand as well as great guests. What better way to celebrate the 2019 signing class than enjoying some delicious barbecue and hanging out with the Swain event? Spend National Signing Day with the Swain event and Dead End Barbecue.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's. Or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technician to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
See here on the text box this morning, Swain event fueled by Dead End Barbecue, hour three, powered by Low T Center, lowtcenter.com. Someone says, come on, Swain, don't get me excited. Like, I know it's a joke, that's a joke, but like on Twitter, like, you share a little information, and folks think you're like trying to get them excited. I'm just trying to get you some information that you may not know about. Coaches search, I mean, the coaching convention is going on right now. That may cause some movement. This staff has not recruited the way they probably wanted to. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't that bad. It needs to be better if you want to catch up with Georgia and Alabama. So we know T. Martin's been talked to. Possibility of him coming in as a co-OC. That doesn't happen unless you have some changes on the staff, an offensive staff. And so no one is like trying to play with your feelings or anything like that. Just trying to give you some information.
I just know, honestly, at this point, to a lot of fans, like the word sources triggers them. Sources. You heard this. I'm hearing this. Sources are telling me. Like, it's getting to the point where, like, where individuals was with Butch Jones, you know, where people hear it and they're like, don't say individual. Sources. Don't say sources. Because they have that reaction now where they say, I'm not going to get excited. I don't want to know this information because I'm just going to continue to keep getting let down.
But don't blame me, members, for that. Yeah, blame Tennessee. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Don't shoot the messenger in that. That's the tough part.
Do you want information or do you don't? If you don't, then just close your ears and close your eyes.
Don't look at Twitter.
Just don't say anything. Just don't look at anything.
Like, folks want information. They want to know what's going on. And when they're told what's going on, they don't like what they're being told.
I mean, I'm really cynical about it. And, you know, we're in it and hear all that stuff all day. When I hear, you know, when Bryce has a news drop, I think the same thing that I think a lot of fans do, where I just say, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it, when it comes around, whenever that guy actually is pen on paper and I have the contract, you know, a copy of the contract in my hand at a press conference, I'll believe it then. You know, I'm to that point. And like I said, we're in it.
That's probably because of the history of Tennessee and all the moves that has been made with the staff, either head coach or different assistant coaches, things like that. Things not working out, but like no one's playing a game with you. Trust me. On Sundays, I would rather hang out with my family and not tweet at all, to be honest. I was at Costco getting like stuff for the week because school starts back tomorrow. And I was getting ready for the Bears playing. Sundays are like my days to just chill and relax and spend time with the family. I mean, I try to decompress and detach myself away from my phone because I don't want to miss moments as my kids are growing up. So, like, you listen to the show long enough, like, I'm not trying to troll or play games. That's not my act. It's not.
I think what we need to do is we need to put in a signal emoji. You know, Batman has his signal for when his help is needed. We should pick in an emoji, and then when something is about to happen, when we know something is about to happen, when this thing is about to end, we just tweet out that emoji.
Well, you know, one of the funniest things that's been going on Twitter to me personally is Neil Mafia, he's a legend to this show. He's been tweeting kind of in this parody way, like the OC hire is like finding a new pope. He's been calling it the Volican City report from the Volican City. and so, yeah, I mean, you need like the white smoke at the Vatican City. We need some kind of signal to go up that says it is done. The new OC has been found.
I'm sure we can find an image on Google of orange smoke.
Yes, that's what it needs to be. Orange smoke coming out of a chimney.
An orange smoke flare. And then when that is tweeted out, that is when this thing is done.
I don't know all the emojis. What's the library of emojis? I don't know.
There's a lot of them. But see, we can't just go basic eyeball emojis. It needs to be something that is really, it really symbolizes what this offensive coordinator search has been. So I think the poop emoji would be phenomenal.
Yeah, but if Tennessee was just going to just hire an offense coordinator and that was it, we're filling just one position, then I would understand doing that. But I got a feeling there's going to be some changes on offense. It's going to be more than just one guy coming in. And that's what people don't understand. They think it's just going to be an offensive coordinator hire. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, we have a hire coordinator yet. Well, part of a coordinator could be a running back coach or another receiver coach or another quarterback coach. I mean, it could be It could be more than just one guy coming in. I don't think Brian Niedermeyer is going anywhere. And Will Friend's not going anywhere. One recruits a high level. One has OC experience and has a great relationship with Pruitt. I look at guys who have not recruited at a high level, and you can kind of put two and two together about who could possibly be in another position next year, another job next year. I mean, I'm just putting two and two together. And I did that same thing with Gillespie. It's like, man, Gillespie has not recruited that great here in Tennessee. Ew. And then when they brought in Chris Winkie, I was like, well, that makes sense. Now, I'm saying today that my expectations for Chris Winkie were a little bit higher. F. Felton 25 says that I don't think Pruitt would let Winkie go because of his connection to IMG. Fair would be the first to go. Charles Kelly probably gets another DC opportunity soon. So if those two go, then Winkie, the special teams coordinator, then Sarkisian Chaney, slash Sarkisian Chaney, et cetera, at OC, T as co-OC running back coach, whatever title makes everyone happy. I'm sorry. I don't think the IMG pipeline really worked out with Chris Winkie. I don't think it worked out one bit. If you want to count Chris Akprogane as one, you can do that. I'm not. The kid's from that. He's from Knoxville. He's from Knoxville. His parents who brought him in live in Knoxville, so there's a tie there. It's not like he brought in Noah Kane or some other player from another part of the country to come to Tennessee. I don't think that pipeline really worked out. And I didn't think the running backs were that good this year either.
They weren't great, but this is a totally different conversation, but I do put that more in the offensive line. They had nowhere to run.
There were multiple problems there.
It was just a big situation.
Yeah.
Jerry got blown up. It wasn't always offensive line.
I understand.
That's true.
The way some of our guys read holes, that ain't always on the offensive line either. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying it's
Chris Winkie
on the offensive line.
Wasn't great to me as a running back coach, and he was not great in recruiting. Now, that could just be one bad year, and he can come out and knock it out of the park, but I'm just telling you what I saw, and it could have been better. So does he move? I don't know. I think it's a possibility. That's why it's taking so long, is you're not just talking about bringing in one guy to be the coordinator. You're exploring bringing in multiple guys. All right, let's go to the phones.
We've got John.
John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, John.
Hey, up here in Minnesota, a couple things. First of all, Cody Parkey missing that field goal. And Neil and Mafia talking about the OC search and the conclave and the Pope and stuff. I'll piggyback off that a little bit. We got looking at U.S. Bank Stadium last night. There was some white smoke coming out the top. I think the curse of Gary Anderson and Blair Walsh has been lifted. And sorry, Swain, but that's on Cody Parkey and the Bears now.
Yeah, I know the Vikings, they had to deal with that not too long ago, the field goal kicker missing the field goal to win. The only way I give Cody Parkey a little bit of grace is the ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage.
Right, right.
A little bit of grace.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, like y'all were saying about, yeah, I mean, you can't lay it all on the kicker. And to that point, that was a couple years ago. I went down to a Vikings training camp, and I was at that game where Blair Walsh missed that field goal against Seattle. And I went down to training camp the following year, and Blair Walsh is just – he's signing everybody's autograph. He's on, like, a redemption tour. And I had my Vikings shirt on. I had my Tennessee Vols hat on. I asked him for a picture, and I said, you have to say go Vols. And he went to Georgia, and he said, "Go Vols." That's how bad it was. He was. I felt bad for the guy. I mean, you could just see it in his face. Like, even a year, like training camp the following year, like he just felt so bad. And, but yeah, you can't lay it all on the kicker. But
here's what sucks too, John. Here's what sucks, man. when you think of the Bears and, you know, kickers over the last, let's see, 11 seasons before before the Bears decided to make a move in 2015, it was Robbie Gould. Robbie Gould was let go. He went to the Giants, and then he went to the 49ers. And Robbie Gould this season was 97%.
I believe he was 34, 35?
He was 94%. He was 33 of 34 on the season.
My God. That's wild.
Didn't they cut him?
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Yay.
And he was he's one of those lifers. He's like a Devin Hester. Mm-hmm. You know, he's Devin Hester type.
Yeah. No, that's kind of hard as a fan, though. And I mean, like, as growing up as a Vikings fan, I mean, you got Gary Anderson, Blair Walsh. It just, like, never ended.
Yeah.
So it's tough, man.
It is.
Anyways, enjoy the curse of the kickers now, Swain.
No, we're gonna get rid of our kicker. It won't be a curse.
As bad as your kicker was this year, nobody was worse than Chris Boswell for the Steelers. I promise you that.
But you know what was funny that I saw a couple people tweet after Parkey missed that kick was that the national championship game in 2013, Auburn and FSU, Auburn lost by 3 points. What happened in the second quarter? Cody Parkey missed a 20-some-odd yard field goal, a very, very short chip shot.
A makeable.
And he missed it in that game, too. So that... Think about how brutal that's got to be, like, on your psyche. You missed... I'm sure that one wears on you. National championship game, your team loses by a field goal, and you missed a chip shot in the game. And then past that, now you have this that is just... I mean, it's got to be the worst. I think the only way that this could really be worse is if it was the championship game for the conference or the Super Bowl. He's had a tough go of it, Cody Parkey.
I want to highlight something that's really cool. And this will be really cool for those who are believers and practice Christianity as their choice of faith. I'm not about to get religious on you today at all. But in that moment when he missed that field goal, do you know what he did?
After the game, he went to midfield with the rest of the players who chose to and prayed.
I noticed very, very visibly he pointed upwards.
He pointed upwards.
Yeah.
When he missed it, he gave thanks. That's strong. That's strong. In your worst moment, and there's nothing worse than being a player on the free throw line with a chance to win a game for a championship and you miss it and your team lose, like a Nick Anderson did, Orlando Magic. And then Cody Parkey, chance to win and go to the next round of playoffs, and you miss it. In that moment, your worst moment as an athlete, you give thanks. I thought that was pretty cool.
Very cool.
All right, let's get to the phones. Who else we got?
Nobody. That is just John listening in on us.
Oh, my bad. My bad then.
It's all good.
So you sent me some emojis.
I did. These are my choices for what the emoji should be when this offensive coordinator situation is finished. I sent you the headphone because during the game, the coordinator will be wearing headsets.
Okay.
I sent you a microphone because he'll be speaking into a mic to call in the plays. I sent you a snail because this thing has moved along at a snail's pace.
Okay.
I sent you a poop emoji because it has been in... that's self-explanatory. And then this is from myself and Nathaniel Rutherford. The trash can emoji with the fire next to it to signify it's been a dumpster fire. Those are my selections. I also thought about doing like the little A-OK sign. As in just hallelujah, it's over, or even the hallelujah hands.
Yeah, the hands up.
Hallelujah, hands is good. What about the shouting emoji when someone get ready to shout?
That's a good one.
The emoji people use when they say for the people in the back.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
Let's see here.
I thought about putting a bulldog in case it is Jim Chaney. Okay. Jim Chaney's coming from Georgia. The sword for T. Martin because he's coming somewhat from USC.
Okay. What about this whale? The whale.
Is it like a white whale one?
Yeah, we landed a whale. Maybe that one.
If we land Jim Chaney, the whale could signify many things.
It could.
You could do the house for T because he's coming home.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
I'm not gonna say this.
Never mind.
The eggplant. What?
Yeah, the eggplant.
Cause you're excited.
Oh, I don't know about excited, but
you could do the lock to say that
you locked down.
You locked down your guy.
Well, he's the guy we wanted. We locked down the guy we wanted. Or we could put the bomb. That's what mm-hmm. Eddie the Don wants. The bomb emoji.
Neil Mafia, I know what he's going to do. It's going to definitely be the eggplant.
100%. Mm-hmm. And then if it's Jim Chaney, it'll be a Georgia peach next to it.
Oh, man. Robbie sent just a cup of bourbon, glass of bourbon.
There's also the middle finger emoji to just this entire process.
That deserves it.
That'd be great, too, man. That'd be great, too. Those are emojis we can use instead of the eyeball emojis, right?
Yes.
I'm with it. Hopefully sooner than later, but I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of different directions Pruitt can go, a lot of different combinations he can bring in here to be on his staff. So I hope it includes T. Martin. I don't care if it's Sarkisian or Chaney. I hope it includes T. Martin. I really, really do. But at the same time, I want the best for him. Clemson, Alabama tonight. I think we all going to go with Clemson. Hoping they win, but who you think is going to win?
Go Clemson, go Amari. I got Alabama 34-24.
All right, we're going.
Alabama 41-20.
We root for Clemson. Don't know if they'll win or not, but go Clemson. For Ben McKee, Charlie Burris, Jason Swain here. Hope you have a great day. Peace and love. We're out.